Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. We always enjoy your company. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you would like to join us. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We have a few letters and then we'll jump back into some other topics. Go ahead, Alan.
Okay. Brendan says, Bernie needs to pose a straightforward question to minority voters. Do you believe things will improve for you under Hillary Clinton's presidency? Question mark. It didn't work out so well in the 90s, and Bernie can get that point across. He might have a shot. Great show today. Well, Brendan, you know, there's some polling that indicates that after the Clinton administration, many people saw him as the, quote, first black president. So he had a lot of support from the black community. And yes, you're right, playing it both ways. Barbara, you want to answer that one too?
I can't say anything about Bernie's campaign strategy, but we were talking again during the break. I was talking about, it was Toni Morrison, the incredibly world-renowned, distinguished author, who
Nobel
coined
Prize
that.
Winner,
who
yes. co-
Nobel Literature Prize for Literature winner, yes, who coined that phrase that he was the first black president. And I despaired when I heard that because I thought this is going to confuse people terribly, both black and white people and all people, because he's not black, and just because he's comfortable as a civil rights era, you know, person, because he was a teenager during the civil rights era, like me, and he was affected by what he was seeing, but that doesn't make him a black person. In fact, mm-hmm. I don't think anything would make you a black person except perhaps probably being born one.
Being black.
You can definitely be an anti-racist person.
Sounds like a good criteria to me, actually, yeah. Barbara.
Pretty logical.
Lynn writes, Clinton's specificity, her knowledge, her great ability to delineate what the problems are and give solutions overwhelm Sanders. Sanders is not fighting in the present, but in the past. She is living and thinking now, capital N-O-W. His references to Churchill, not you, Chris, and FDR, ironically show that. He is a one-issue politician, and oddly, now that Sanders has tasted blood, it seemed on stage frustrated and angry. Well, I have to tell you, Lynn, and again, this is why I try to tell you what I'm doing. The overnights show Bernie massively, according to people who watched it, won. So despite the fact that you say so, it may not mean it's so. You know what I mean? Okay, so Tina says, no one mentioned this. Bernie is absolutely right for calling out Hillary out for being proud of Kissinger's view of her work as Secretary of State. Kudos to Bernie for mentioning Cambodia and Kissinger's secret carpet bombing. Cambodia was only one site of Kissinger's crimes against humanity. Hillary is making it harder and harder for Democrats to support her, says my old friend Tina from the Legislative Gazette. And then Hillary says, Hillary and Wall Street, the devil may be in the details. If Hillary is made to release details of a Wall Street paid speech. I think they've come out, haven't they, Joe? Don't we know what was in those speeches now?
I think, yeah, the transcripts are out.
I think the transcripts are out.
Yeah, the transcripts are out, and they weren't especially damning. So,
Clinton is electable. Sanders is not. Hello, says Richard. Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton would both make excellent presidents. The only difference is that Hillary Clinton can win the general election while Bernie Sanders cannot. Were Bernie Sanders to win the Democratic nomination, his opponents would endlessly remind the American public he's a self-avowed socialist. American voters who associate the word socialist with Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, many of whom we also were self-avowed socialists. Well, Richard, that is the issue, all right.
Well,
I think a lot of people have that issue. Yeah.
So let me ask, and I'll ask all of you, and that is, since the New Hampshire win, and maybe this is a flash in the pan, I don't know, but since the New Hampshire win, when Bernie Sanders has been put in contest with the various Republican rivals in the general election, his numbers are pretty good. And it seems that it would, yes, be a close election, but there are two major polls that have him coming out ahead. So is that really true that he is not electable?
I would be pretty skeptical of those polls. I mean, I think Those polls tend to be name recognition polls at this point. I don't think that most people are really paying that much attention if they're in, you know, Utah or in any of these states that, you know, have not had a chance to vote yet. And
Chris, on top of that, Hillary being the assumed winner of these primaries by the Republicans has been the great Satan. She's the one they've been beating up on. And maybe this stuff shows here. But you better believe that if Bernie gets the nomination, right, he's next.
I think Bernie's in a very, very tough spot right now anyways in terms of going forward. I mean, he's running kind of an outsider campaign. He's campaigning against the status quo. In a sense, he's campaigning against the Obama administration because he's criticizing the corruption and everything that's happening within government now. Well, when he's doing that on one hand, at the same time he's trying to win over support in the black community, which polls show is very, very supportive of the Obama administration. It's kind of a delicate walk he's trying to make, and you could see that a little bit in the debate last night. And I think that's why Hillary a few times called him out for criticizing the Obama administration.
Interesting, because I didn't think of it that way until you said it. I didn't think of that that it was clear that he was opposing the Obama administration.
Well,
I thought it was
You're running against the guy. He's running essentially against the guy who's in power. When every criticism he makes is kind of an implicit criticism of Obama for not getting these things done. You know, whether it's Obamacare versus Medicare for all or all those things. But I think he's got
to
be careful not to insult black voters too.
Let's try to remember who, is going to vote in a Democratic primary, right? So in the same way we know that the extreme right votes in the Republican primaries, there are an awful lot of people who think Bernie's absolutely right. He is right. It's, you know, in terms of what this country has come to be, and he's making all of those points. Nevertheless, you still got a middle class who aspire to being rich. That's always been the problem. We don't want to tax the rich too heavily because someday I'm going to be rich too, and I don't want it to happen to me. That's the way it is.
Hey, we were just called idiots.
Woohoo!
By?
All of us, or just?
By Ken.
Who said that?
Ken.
Ken, I don't have that one yet, Joe, so you read it.
Winner of 14 elections, unelectable idiots. Hear yourselves? Question mark?
Yeah, but winning in Vermont is not the same as winning a national election. Right?
Right.
Well, And, you know, what's happening now is as we get further into this, people's passions
Vermont and New Hampshire,
are sort of
Chris.
Taking over.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry.
Well, it's right. But it is right next door.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't a general election, right? I mean,
right.
As I said near the beginning of the show, I just feel that when he gets into those southern primaries, it's going to be a whole different story because it's a much more conservative.
I don't know. Yeah, you see, Barbara, I don't know, because I think what happens is as you get into the primaries, the left of the party is more likely to show up than the middle.
The South Carolina left?
I know that you're mocking me, but I do think
Oh, you can't even see my face.
But I think there are a lot of people who know that they're being screwed. You know, and by the way, I wanted to talk about the use of the word idiot about us. That's fine. I don't care. But their passions are beginning to happen. I got a letter this morning because I called out Trump in my newspaper column for being Hitler-esque, which I've done on this station, singling out a single group like Muslims for special treatment. And I made the point that's exactly what Hitler did with the Jews, the scapegoating technique. So this guy writes me a letter in which he addresses me, dear, and then I can't say it on the radio, but it was a term which is used sometimes by males in birth control. So if you're following, and it wasn't nice, and I think we can expect a lot more of that.
Barbara, do you think religion will hurt Bernie Sanders as they go south? I mean, one of the things you were talking about Clinton earlier and how comfortable he was in the black community, he was always very comfortable in black churches too, and that seemed to be something that really.
Right.
I wonder if Bernie will have that same appeal in churches, and if if he'll kind of be able to make a connection there. I think that's still very important in a lot of southern states.
Right. I don't know how much he has done as far as doing outreach to the churches, which is, of course, the tried and true method for not just white, you know, people running for office. Anybody running for office where their black, major black populations probably does that. But Bernie, from what I can understand, is pretty secular, but he's also Jewish, which, of course, is his heritage, not just his religious practice.
His religion. Right.
So I said that the other day.
I think it's a good question,
killed.
Chris.
Yeah.
You said what? That that might hurt him?
I said that he was no, not at all. I just said that he was Jewish, but not a religious Jew. So somebody wrote back and said, "How dare you?" You know, I'm not saying that. He said that. an interesting scenario says, "Hello, all. Do you think Bernie would have a better chance of getting the nomination if the economy were to go to another bad recession by the end of the summer?" Now, I think that's a very good letter, don't you guys? I mean, that's a very important issue. I suspect it would help Hillary because maybe it shouldn't, but people, when things go really south, start to look at established people who are more likely to carry them through.
Yeah, they may not want radical policies that might seem a little risky, if things are going south.
That's what I'm thinking. But it's a very interesting letter.
Real quick, I want to go back to something that you were talking about, Alan, in what you had written about Donald Trump and the reaction that got. And one of the things I think we lost sight of on Tuesday was a little fact that came across was that in the exit polling, 65% of New Hampshire Republican voters said that they would support banning non-American Muslims from entering the United States. Now, I guess that shouldn't be overly surprising given the strong support that Donald Trump had. But that is not of just Trump supporters. That is overall within the Republican Party. I found that number fairly staggering. Yes.
My point exactly. It's what Hitler did. That's how he got to be the chancellor. That's how he got to run the country. He did it on the backs of somebody, and he got agreement from the German population, which were largely anti-Semitic. That's exactly what he did, and that was my point.
I think there have been polls that show that's pretty popular just broadly, not just with Republican voters, but with the populace
overall. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Exactly right. My point exactly. Anyway, you got a lot of letters. I don't know what you want to do here.
All right. Well, why don't you go through a couple of them? Let's say let's go through about 2 minutes worth, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and go to our last two topics.
And you'll tell me when. And you'll tell me when it's over. Okay.
Okay.
So, Nola says, I am less concerned about Bernie's electability than I am about his ability to accomplish things if elected. He is much farther than the left of Obama and has a less inclination to compromise that I fear will be even less effective than Obama, despite not having the race issue to deal with. The extreme right wing will stop at virtually nothing to prevent socially progressive policies from being adopted. At least if Hillary wins, we know that some things can get done, and that's from Nola. Joe says, come on, panel. You know association with Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton is a big turnoff for many voters. However, I want to point this out, and then maybe Barbara can speak to this. When Al Sharpton, at the top of his controversibility, a new word for me, ran for the United States Senate, he got well in excess of 90% of the black vote. So you got to deal with Al Sharpton whether you like him or not. Barbara?
Yeah, I'm not connecting what you're saying. This letter said something about Al Tawana Brawley Sharpton.
The letter says, the letter basically, which I have now gotten rid of, said that fooling around with Al Sharpton is a dangerous thing because so many of us remember, you know, Tawana Brawley and all that stuff. And I'm saying if you're either Hillary or Sanders, you must deal with Al Sharpton.
So have either of them done that, though? That's what I'm...
Sanders met with Al Sharpton earlier this week.
I see.
In Sylvia's, yeah.
Although Bernie didn't look all that comfortable being there.
Well, he did.
I think he was waiting for an endorsement, and he didn't get it.
He looked
right?
a little grim.
Well, the
He did the same thing with Larry Wilmore on The Nightly Show some time ago, so he should have been comfortable. He's been there already.
Oh. Well, the picture I saw of Bernie, even in, I think in that other newspaper, it said big smile on his face. So oh, yeah. It depends okay. on which photographer got what, which photographer did what.
And I think it was Sylvia's. I just know they were yeah. at a black restaurant, Larry yeah. Wilmore and
all right, let's take a break. We'll be back. We'll continue and wrap up our conversation this morning. We welcome your letters. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok, Chris Churchill, and Barbara Smith make up the panel this morning. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion, and very nice to have you with us. So we should note that the Oregon standoff has ended as the last militants surrendered yesterday. So that story is over with and was as peaceful, I guess, as we could hope, at least in the last chapter of it. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
I guess it was, you know, the peace, it was handled relatively well, I think. Congrats to the federal authorities, I guess, for not bum rushing in there and shooting everybody up.
Alan?
I thought it was inevitable the way this was going to end. It ended the way I thought it was going to end. I had moved on to other things. So I didn't find it that exciting. Once they got the other guys, it was just a matter of time.
Let's go then to another story.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
Can I say one other thing? I love the music you're playing this morning.
Yeah. We're getting letters, yes, and it's very nice.
Right.
What is it, Rob? Rob will tell us the first name. The Art Tatum Trio is what we're playing this morning. Thank you very much to Rob Chacon and our wonderful board op and music selector. And then we have the officer who was convicted in the fatal shooting of okay, Gurley in Brooklyn. This came down yesterday. Barbara, what do you make of that?
Very interesting verdict, given that it seems that generally that's not what happens with police officers.
Yep.
Convicted of manslaughter, I should note.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so upsetting. All I could think about, because I always have this, you know, kind of, I don't know, maybe it's idealistic, but I was thinking, well, that's what happens like when you have people with weapons. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? He had no intention of shooting, mm-hmm. but he did have his weapon out and it went off. It ricocheted, and then somebody was dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just really it's our style, the U.S. style of policing, and the expectations around carrying guns and violence, etc. I was so upset that the officer is Chinese American, because it's not the usual script of mm-hmm. White officer, black victim.
It's kind of ironic in a way kind of ironic that it's an accidental shooting that leads to a conviction instead of one of the intentional ones.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Well, I think it's because of they must have seen negligence or, mm-hmm. Not following police protocols and training. Yeah.
There was also he didn't stop to help the guy once he had shot him, which is more damning probably than the original accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alan, you were going to say?
It's also New York City, right? Number one. Number two. There does seem to be a line at which you cannot cross. So, or certainly not in some of the other venues that we have seen where it was pretty obvious that wrong was done. But here is a guy shooting his gun without knowing who's on the other side. And if that ain't manslaughter, I don't know what is. It just is.
But I don't think he intended to shoot, though, right?
The gun went off.
Yeah. I don't think
as the old song goes, guys, I didn't know the gun was loaded.
Yeah, and shouldn't have had his finger on the trigger like that.
The gun just went off? Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah.
There you go. We've heard from Michael, who says, lost in the news is the story that the person who started all this, Clive Bundy, got arrested at an airport in Oregon a couple of days ago. Why don't you talk about this? Hey, come on, Michael. It was all over our news. You know it and I know it. So And Julia says, Alan, how are you using this label? In Marx's context, the modern content that most of the world recognizes seems to be the lower class of society regards Jules. I'm not sure what that means, but I do know one thing. Somebody wrote us and said, on Stalin, he said, do most voters remember Stalin? And that's from Sally. Good point. I mean, you know, things get forgotten, including our namesake Churchill, who's a brilliant man, as is our panelist.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks, that goes without saying, of course. And do we have other letters, Alan, or do we...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have got lots of them. Joel takes great exception to what I said. Hitler won with 43% of the vote. That means 57% of German voters in capitals did not want him as chancellor. Well, but it's what got him over the threshold, and he got there. Hi, panel. South Carolina has an open primary. How might that affect the results? Well, you know that there was an open primary in New Hampshire, right? And you saw what happened. A lot more people voted on the Democratic side, the middle, you know, who took the ballots, than on the Republican side. Interesting, nay?
Absolutely interesting.
Yeah, thank
anybody
you. Have
any? We have about 3 minutes, and I just wanted to real quick mention that I think this is we don't often do a lot of science news on the panel section, so let's talk about the team of scientists announcing Thursday that they had heard and recorded the sound of two black holes colliding a billion light years away. A fleeting chirp that fulfilled the last prediction of Einstein's general theory of relativity. So there is the existence of gravitational waves, and we've got it on tape.
I love it, and I wonder.
I wish I knew what it meant.
you read it really well, though.
I have no idea what it means, but I'm with it.
Very important.
Yes,
very
I'm important. Sure. I watched. There was a very detailed segment on the NewsHour last night, and I was watching it, and they had me. I mean, I understood everything they were saying, and then at the end, I was still like. I wouldn't know how to then explain it to somebody else. I thought it was very well explained, very well executed, but I'm still, you know, not sure. But again, it proves that Einstein was very smart.
Oh.
Yes. We can all agree on that.
Not that we didn't know that, but just further confirmation that he's a very, very smart man. All right, and we have time for a letter or two, Alan, and then we'll wrap up here.
Okay, so Yvonne says, for people who say Bernie won't be able to get things done with Congress, what makes them think Hillary would be any more effective? Any, in capitals, Democratic president is going to have to either make broad concessions or make use of executive orders. She will face a lot of sexist opposition. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the same time we're electing a president. We're electing a Congress and a Senate, aren't we? So let's try to remember. It may not be the same Congress. Know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, let's end there, actually, because we're out of time. And I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. Alan, I hope you're feeling better. Thank you very much for being with us in your condition, near death and all.
Yes, I'm not a well man.
I know you're not a well man, but I hope you will get better. And thank you very much. Yeah. Chris Churchill, it's always wonderful to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, good. Hopefully we'll see you next week. I'll talk to you about that as soon as the mic... Right. Go off.
Okay.
And Barbara Smith, we'll see you next week as well. Thank you very
much.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
We'll continue with the roundtable after this.